Well, my name is Chris Fraley, not Chris Farley. And I grew up a pastor's kid. My dad was a Southern Baptist pastor for over 50 years. They met at California Baptist College, which is now California Baptist University. My mom was from actually Charleston, South Carolina. She grew up there, and they moved to California out of all places, right? And that's how she met my dad. My dad sang, and my mom played piano. They went throughout the Southern Baptist churches for quite a long time until he ended up settling in a Southern Baptist church for many years. And then they prayed me into Cal Baptist, and I went there for about a year, realized that it just wasn't the place for me, and I ended up transferring to the Bible College, Calvary Chapel Bible College. And that's when you went through the Chuck tracks, and they were tapes. They were cassette tapes. I had a million of those cassette tapes, man, back in the day. And that changed everything for me. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Chuck really ministered. He came out of a denomination like I did. I was praying, Lord, show me the early church. Where's the early church? And, you know, and I... As I made my way into Calvary Chapel, it seemed to me that they were the closest thing to that. And just the simplicity and an emphasis on the Holy Spirit and teaching the Word of God. And it was so refreshing for me. And so I planted at 30. I was a youth pastor in the Southern Baptist churches, in about four different Southern Baptist churches for about 10 years. I was at my dad's church and a few others. And then, of course, when I went to the Bible College, everything changes. Planted a church in Yucaipa. That is the promised land. I don't know if you knew that or not. I know you guys from the South all think this is the promised land, all right? But you haven't seen Yucaipa yet, right? And so now you want to see it, right? Where is that place? You can't even say it. Can you guys say Yucaipa? Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah, Yucaipa. You drew that out a little bit. You kava. But planted when I was 30, so been there for 25 years. So Jason came along, and I've watched him minister in our church for many, many years. I remember when he picked up the guitar and started playing. And then I'll never forget, our youth pastor said, "You've got to come here, Pastor Jason." Well, no, you weren't pastor at that time. You were just serving. You were like an intern you weren't even sure you were an intern. I remember I came and I listened as he was ministering to our teenagers in worship. And I sat in the back and I just wept because I could just see God's anointing on his life. And a year prior to that, I was praying, "God, please anoint him. He needs your anointing." And then a year later, this chair is going to turn on me. I can see it. A year later, I saw God's anointing on his life, and what a blessing it's been to serve together. He is our executive pastor, and so he oversees our pastors and most of our staff, and then he also leads worship, and so he's up there with me on the weekends. And so, hey, I wanted to come to you today and talk to you from a senior pastor's perspective, and just to minister to you about some things that God's put on my heart for worship leaders. And it's things that Jason and I have talked through, walked through, thought about, we agree on over the years. And so we're going to do this together. That's why he's up here with me. So I'm going to share one of the principles. I'm going to give you 10 principles on that. Just key principles on what you need to know from a senior pastor's perspective, a relationship with you worship leaders. Let me get this open. With your senior pastor, right? And so the first thing right out of the gate, I would encourage you, hey, write these down, think through them. It may be only one or two that minister to you, but maybe all 10, all right? And first thing right out of the gate is say, build trust with your pastor. Build trust with your pastor. I'm sure I speak for all the senior pastors. They would say that to anyone on staff, especially the one that's up there next to them on the stage. Build trust. It was said of Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He said, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved, faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach, as I teach everywhere in every church. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, we read, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Notice what he says in 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. In verse 22, but you know his proven character. What is it? His proven character, right? That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And so you can see, we know throughout the New Testament, Paul has this great trust with Timothy. Timothy has built trust with Paul the Apostle. And what does it say? He's a man of character, one who represented the Lord, but also he represented Paul well. Paul could say he's my representative in that sense also. And so notice he was like-minded, something you want to work at, trying to be like-minded with your pastor and get his heart for worship and spend time with him. And you're there under his leadership, under that umbrella of authority that God has given to him. And so make sure you know his heart when it comes to worship. Make sure you know what he wants and what he's looking for, you know, when that weekend service comes. And ask him, hey, what's your vision for worship? What's your heart for worship? And it'd be good. It'll be good for him to have to think through that also. And trust has become something very important to me in this season of ministry. And knowing that I have someone who has my heart who leads the people, I can trust him. I don't have to, I'm not always wondering. I'm not uncertain. I don't have to get up on stage or even be out listening to Jason lead on stage and go, you know, I hope he's going to say the right, well, I hope he's chosen the right, I'm crossing my fingers kind of thing, you know, just hoping. I don't want to do that. And so we have a trust relationship with one another. And so, all right, Proverbs 25:19, listen to this one, right? It says this, it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Did you hear that? That'll stick us a little bit, right? Yeah. Let me say it again. You guys want to all say it out loud? Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, because time of trouble comes, right? And what does it say? It's like a bad tooth or a foot out of a joint. Don't be that. Don't be a toothache, all right? Be a blessing, all right? And so, all right,
yeah.
Tag team, go.
Sure. So what I was thinking of when you were sharing that is a lot of this stuff, I think, that has built trust, definitely faithfulness, but I've watched things that are going on and just discern what to do and what not to do based off of things that people have done that don't go well and that make the ministry difficult. And so I think one way that you can really build trust is to just pay attention. You know, just remember that God has called your senior pastor there to be the senior pastor, and you're there to serve them and serve under them. And so you can look around and see, okay, this is something that helps the ministry. This is something that doesn't help the ministry. It's very simple, and just to avoid those things that don't help, and come under the vision. You know, if God's given you a vision to serve at that church, then you're going to be able to come under the vision of the church, which is the vision that the pastor has. And so it's going to take time. Those types of things always take time, but that goes a long way when you're coming under God by coming under that vision. And if God has placed you there, it's going to be a blessing all around, even through difficult things. So.
All right, so number one, build trust with your pastor. Second thing is, hey, be a godly example. Be a godly example. You're up on stage and everyone automatically puts you in a place of leadership, right? You may not always see it that way, but if you're up on this stage, then that's what people will automatically do. They're going to look at you and think, well, they did something to get up there. And it's not easy for a pastor to share the stage in that way. So, I mean, it's just given. So be the example to those within your leadership team and to those that you're leading. Again, it was said of Timothy in speaking about the deacons. And deacons are just—it's just another word for servant. All right, and think about that in that way. And that's the position you're in. All right, this is the leadership team in the church. Listen to what he says: 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But let these also first be tested. So we don't just hand a mic to someone who walks in and says, "Hey, I want to be on the worship team." All right. For it, you know, that ain't gonna happen. It actually says be tested. Let's watch and see. Let's see how they do in children's ministry. Let's see how they do in youth ministry. Everybody wants to be on the so-called main stage, all right? But He didn't start in the main stage. He started in youth ministry, and we watched him, and we saw where his heart was, and is he faithful? And he didn't just jump up on the main stage, right? And so, but he noticed, tested, and then let them serve as deacons or servants, being found. Notice the key there. What does it say? Blameless. The word blameless can be translated. If you're writing, taking notes, you can write this down. It means unaccused or unreprovable. All right. Again, because you're on stage in the mind of those attending the church, you are naturally elevated. I mean, not, you know, just that's reality. You are elevated, but they're going to elevate you in their minds. Even the ushers and greeters are elevated. Oh, they're in leadership. And so, hey, if they see you outside of church doing something that is not going to represent, well, then it's going to stumble. It's not going to look well on the church, nor the Lord, nor the pastor. And so make sure you're working on that, all right? Paul would, he would just even remind Timothy that the servants should maintain a godly example to those who are looking, or even on the outside looking. And listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, so inside and outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Hey, I've heard in our community, it's not in Calvary Chapel in our area, but I have heard of some worship leaders in our community, they hang out at bars. Some of them not just hanging out in bars. I mean, they're drinking at the bars, and they're also playing at the bars. Right? And I always wonder if their pastor knows. I wonder if there is there a disconnect there? Do they realize who they're representing? They're not just musicians that got up on stage and got a playing a gig, if you would, all right? But they're representing the Lord, they're representing their pastor, they're representing all. And so make sure that, you know, you're in building trust with your pastor, you're setting the right example before the flock. They're all looking in at you, all right? Jason, what do you got?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's something that you've trained all of us on staff in. I think one of the things I've watched over the years in serving under Pastor Chris and on the team is, although we aren't perfect and we're flawed human beings, and you know we have the grace of God upon us. Thank you, Jesus. All the while, there is a connection between the pursuit of holiness and the way the ministry goes, the doors that God opens. For example, as he's sharing that, I was thinking about how there were years, even when I was doing youth ministry and some other times, where I remember not having much of a team, and I'm grateful that I didn't have much of a team because some of the influences I would have given them would have been negative. Whereas now there's some differences in the way in my leadership and the way that I do things, and so it's been beneficial to grow in that and understand holiness is important.
Yeah, we've even asked people to step back and step out for a little while and until they can deal with some of the issues in their life, sin in their life that maybe they're struggling with that. You know, it's messing with them. It's messing with the team. It's messing with everybody. And so, hey, let's work on that. And we try to help them through that. And sometimes they get back on stage. Sometimes they don't. But then number three, hey, be disciplined in your daily walk with the Lord. Be disciplined in your daily walk with the Lord. I know that's a given, right? It shouldn't even have to be stated. But the reality is that we've seen it. Hey, the word, prayer, but also I think it was stated in earlier today, in your own personal time of worship. I think, Matt, you mentioned that. You know, I would encourage you, have your own personal time of worship. Jason takes the long way home and he worships in his car, all right? Sometimes you might even just need to close the office door, pick up that guitar if you can play it, all right? I know you're not going to be pounding on the drums as you sing in worship, you know, probably not, but I don't know that anybody would want you to do that, you know, but if you can play the guitar or you can play the keys, I mean, get on there and just spend some time in his presence, worshiping him and loving him. If not, put on some music and just get before him. Make sure you have your own personal time of worship before you get up and actually lead the people in corporate worship. And I will say this. I can always tell when someone on the worship team is not spending time with the Lord in worship. God will grant us that discernment. We've seen it. It shows in every area of their service. Personal time of the worship of the Lord will actually, it's going to help you in your corporate time, but then it's going to help you with your attitude. It's going to help you with your servant heart. It's going to help with your focus. And I think that, you know, it's important to make sure that you're disciplined. And I do use the word discipline because it is a discipline. You have to discipline yourself. Just like you discipline yourself as a musician, you've got to discipline yourself in your own daily walk with the Lord. And we've seen it. There were people up on stage leading, loving Jesus that are not on stage today, not loving Jesus, and not even going to church at all. We've seen it. It's happened, guys. All right? And they're in a whole other place, in a messy place, carnal and in the world. And you go, how does that happen? It's we all know how it happens. You just stop abiding in the vine. And what will happen? The branch will it'll disconnect and not bear fruit. That's all we just sang about it. All right. Making sure that we stay in that abiding relationship. Jason, go.
Yeah, the thing I've seen in some of those that aren't with us any longer, that you know, a turn they've taken that's been detrimental is reading books instead of reading the Bible. And so here's the funny thing. I don't know about any of you guys out there, but I love to read. So I love to read my Bible more, but I also love to read books. And it's easy to get into a pattern of just picking up a book that you're super interested in. And like, I can't, you know, for those of you that don't like to read, it's like watching a TV show that you can't wait to see the next episode. And I've seen some people on staff get into books that maybe meant well at the beginning, but really lead you down a path of just confusion. And then they replace their time in God's word with a book. And that's dangerous. It's going to lead you right down the path that the book is promoting. And so I would encourage, you know, always in that time with the Lord, go to the word first and foremost. Anything else should be secondary. Because it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Number four, write this down. Make sure you're sitting in the service. That's from a senior pastor's perspective, right? No senior pastor wants to have to say that. They never want to have to do that. And so I always just ask Jason, make sure that you're telling your band members to, you know, so I don't have to. You know, but I just hear me in that, all right? Not in the green room, all right? I mean, we have 5 services on the weekend. So, yeah, Jason's probably going to be in the green room once or twice. But I want to look out there and see that he's sitting there. I actually look to see if he's sitting, not just in the service, but is he sitting with his wife and maybe his family in service? That's required of our pastors. We've had worship leaders that slowly, you know, they stop sitting in the service and maybe you don't see their wife for months and you can just see, how does that happen? Well, they just do it and then we don't realize it. And then when we realize it, we have to pull them in and then it's sometimes too late. And so that should be a given, but I've seen it. It can happen. And guys, just stop, all right? And when you sit in service, think about, what does it do? It does a few things. It keeps you in tune with the heart and the vision of your senior pastor. And it keeps you fed and nourished spiritually. It sets an example to the rest of the band members. This is what we do. This is we're part of a community of believers. I've seen those who stop attending weekend services. It's an only matter of time, and they eventually, this is that downward spiral. They'll start having issues with the church. They might have issues with the leadership. And then before too long, they're just out and gone. Why isn't the bass player ever here? But he seems to be up on. He only shows up when he's on the rotation to, you know, to be on stage. That no bueno. That don't work, right? Not from a senior pastor's perspective. And it shouldn't be in your heart, all right? You don't want the pastor to have to come and say, "Where are you?" That should never happen, right? Jason, what do you got?
I think a healthy practice for leaders is to, if something comes up where you can't be in the service, because that does come up from time to time, let them know. Make it a priority that you're going to let them know why you didn't come. And that you intend to go, you know, that whenever the next opportunity is available, that you intend to go. Reason is, it builds something into you to want to keep yourself in the service, and then also just let them know, I didn't make it because of, you know, whatever it may be. The other thing is, if you have a band or you want to have a band, they're all watching what you're doing, and they're all doing probably even lesser than you are. And so I'll even speak to leaders that are dealing with that right now. It never ends. So there's always somebody on our team. We have a good sized team in this season, but there's always somebody on the team or two that are kind of on the outskirts. And it's my job and my call to check in with them and see what's going on. And it's not, you know, it's not like a talking to, more so it's, hey, I haven't seen you here much except for the days that you play. You know our requirements, but I just, you know, first and foremost, I wanted to just find out how you're doing, what's going on. One of the things that I've seen happen over the years with different leaders at our church and at others, you know, you're up on the platform almost in an equal amount of time to your senior pastor while he's teaching the Word of God. So if you're not a part of the service, like the teaching of the Word, man, the enemy can really attack. I've seen him attack people to where they get an attitude, they get a complex, like they're high and mighty. They think they've got an equal amount of influence. It's just bad. It's just negative. And one of the ways that can be fixed really easy is sit in the service. God's giving your senior pastor things from the Word. He's speaking them out. They're ministering to him. Be there while he's speaking so you can hear those things too. Then you have a united vision moving forward. And, you know, worst case scenario, I wouldn't want this to happen to anyone, but you're sitting there and you disagree with everything, well, then that's not the place for you. You have a conversation and say, thank you for the time that we had together, but I'm finding that I have big disagreements, and so, you know, we need to part ways or whatever. Don't do that to him on a Sunday right before service, by the way. That's another conversation for a later day.
I'm out of here.
But you want to be on the same page, and you're not going to be on the same page if you're not sitting in getting the word that God's given to him to give to the congregation. Sorry, that was long.
You start out, you know, making your way into service, hands raised, worshiping the Lord, enjoying Jesus, and then you get involved in service, and then something can happen. We see this all the time. You stop coming to the service and you're just now leading in the service, and you exchange the worship of God for the work of God. Yikes. And what happens? All right, that's a digression. When you do that, that's just a matter of time until you're checked out and you're going to go somewhere, and you'll do that somewhere else. Right. You know, you didn't correct that. You didn't get that cleaned up. You know, and so making sure, again, these are things that come from a senior pastor, right? And that things that we're thinking about. Now, let me give you another one. This one is, I'll just read it to you. Number five.
It's a touchy one.
Yeah, because you guys are creative, and I love the creative people. I'm married to a creative, right? And so this can be more challenging. Be open to feedback by your pastor, all right? I said feedback. That's a nice word, all right? But hey, do not get defensive when he shares with you some things that you could work on. That's just not the right posture. You don't need to do that. That just makes everything in the room hard and difficult. Most pastors, I mean, they're not excited to have to go and give you feedback and help you. But that's part of discipleship. Is what does disciple mean? Learner. We're all learners. We're all learning. We're not ever arriving. What are we? We're always learning. And so, you know, you want to stay in that posture, right? There could be some things that God's speaking to your pastor in that would be spoken into your life, for your life, to help you. And if that can't work, you'll not build trust. And so, for instance, usually after Saturday night, Jason and I text a bit. We have a Saturday service. That's our raw service. That's our first shot out of the gate. That's, you know, there's all kinds of things said and done on Saturday service. There's a whole group of people that come to Saturday because they want to hear all that, all right? They literally come on Saturday for that reason, you know, because there's things that are going to be said on Saturday they won't be said on Sunday. And they shouldn't be, probably. You know, and then we might change some things in the worship set, but we'll text afterwards. I might ask him, hey, if he saw anything that I can change, check that out, all right? I don't mind that. If I want him to be able to be open to me, I'm open to him. You heard him in the last session. He can teach. He actually teaches on our Wednesday night. He takes the whole Wednesday night and teaches. And he's got a gifting. He is a pastor. And we've got a trust, a relationship. I can text him, Jason, should I have given that illustration? And sometimes he'll say, yeah, it was fine with me, but my wife said you probably don't want to put that one in there, right? You know?
<That's true.
laughs> Aubrey, right? Yeah. Yeah. But I'm 55 years old, been in ministry over 30 years. I'm good with that, all right, at this place. In my 20s, it was a little bit harder, all right? But I've just grown to the place, I just want to do it well. And if there was something that was inappropriate or I didn't need to say, or I need to get 5 minutes out of that because on Sunday we got four. There's no time in between to go. I can't go longer. I need to go less. And he'll say, yeah, you could probably take those two verses out or not read as much or, you know, less illustration or something like that. And so I do that with him. But I also, I appreciate that he'll also just let me say, hey, could you remove that third song and put something else in? Just was challenging. It was too wordy or it just didn't click or, you know, I mean, but he doesn't get all angry and ticked, or if he does, I don't see it, you know, but he'll say, absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes we'll even find that God was already speaking that stuff to him, you know? But that's the kind of relationship I want to be able to have. I don't want to be texting that going, oh, he's not going to show up tomorrow, man. He's going to be all hurt and just beat up and thrashed and forget you. I'm going down the street. No, I know that's not going to happen. We're in this together and we're helping each. We're committed to one another in that way. And so we have that type of relationship. Now, I know that not every one of you are going to have that type of relationship with your pastor. Some of you are going, I wish I had that. Work on that. Do your part. Make an appointment with them. Spend time with them. You could text him on Saturday night, whether he texts you back or not. You could text him and just say, hey, that was great. So grateful. Build that relationship. Make that connection, all right? Do what you can in that area. Go for it.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, being able to do that more. It goes back to number one, building trust with your pastor. And I think it also helps that, so I'll be 45 this month. And back in my 20s, if I were doing this, I think I would have been not nice. You know what I mean? With the feedback.
You wouldn't have had a smile?
No smiling at all. There would be no smiling. But as I think about it, you know, just in life, you learn that you have to communicate back and forth with people to figure out how to do things well. And so getting feedback is very positive in every area of life. And when it comes to the weekend worship services, I want feedback so that everything flows well. Last thing I need is to find out or pick up, you know, on Monday or Tuesday that church service was difficult for Pastor Chris because we were just bombing some song halfway through the set and it made it difficult for him to get up to the pulpit. And that rarely happens, but we've experienced that. And then here's the other side of it too. I like the feedback thing because I play with the team, and not to throw them all under the bus, but I'll be honest, most of the time when things aren't clicking or something's brought up, it's something that's already going wrong in the set. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? So it's actually a blessing in disguise. And I'd say about 90% of the time that he says something, I know it's coming and I've already thought of a couple solutions, which is really, I'm kind of a control freak. Anyone else out there? And so, no, not at all. So with that, I've got things like figured out to where, okay, and I could just say, oh, what about this or that way? Usually Pastor Chris, he's like, what, you know, do whatever. But sometimes they'll have feedback, and then boom, on Sunday, we can do a much better job. So I love the feedback loop. It's a blessing.
I do believe that I try to function in grace as much as I can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I always hope that the grace that I continue to show them will build a platform so when I do have to say, hey, let's don't do that, that they don't get all freaked out and upset. And it's like, dude, I give you so much grace. Come on, chill on that. Don't be so defensive. You know, give me some grace when I need to come in and say, hey, let's not do that. I don't believe that's a healthy direction. Let's pull that back. I want them to then show me the grace in response and go, yeah, let's, I'm with you. Yeah. Right on, Pastor, you know? And then I don't want them leaving and then going, yeah, Pastor cut this. I don't know what he's thinking. He's not a worshiper. He's not like, I don't want to do all that. That shouldn't happen either. All right. We work that out. And then he goes and then makes it happen. And so that's how that relationship, I think it shows a healthy relationship to all those looking in. All right. Are we number six?
Yeah.
Number six. Here it is. All right. From your pastor. All right. From a pastor, senior pastor's perspective. Be disciplined in practicing. All right. Be disciplined in practicing. The psalmist actually said this. David, listen, he said Psalm 33:3. Sing to him a new song. But then what does he say? Play skillfully with a shout of joy. All right. And so the psalmist is saying, what David, make practice, work on that. I'm sure you'll have more to say on this, but I can also tell when, oh, dude, that guitarist, he didn't practice. He's not with it. And half the time, he's not even playing because you can just tell. It's like, I'm not playing because I didn't practice, you know? I mean, or if he is playing, you can just see it. It's like, this is not going down well, you know? And so there's something to be said about practicing. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing, all right, to work that out prior to getting on stage, all right? And some of you guys have been playing your instruments. You've been a musician for a long time. I have a brother that's a musician. He's a jazz drummer. And he said, I don't have to practice with any of those guys. I just show up and I just play. And I'm like, that's great that you're at that place. But that doesn't translate well in ministry. You can just see that. It doesn't work well, all right? And so be careful in that, you know, work that out. Think that through, you know, practice that song. And so that when you get up, together, there's a unity, there's a harmony. For me, it's that thing of distraction. You don't want to be a distraction on stage that would move somebody from worshiping the Lord. Does that make sense? All right? There's things that you can do or not do that are just, they're distractions that are going to move people in the wrong direction. And we just don't want to be that. We don't want to do that. All right. And so yeah. You go.
I think there's two reasons why people don't practice. One is they don't have time. Yeah. And that's, you have to consider, should I be doing this if I don't have time? And the second reason they don't practice is because they don't truly love it. And if you love something, you're going to spend time, you know, working on that craft, perfecting that craft. Of course, that's going to be through your love for God, but he's given you this ability, this desire, this tool. And so it's really good for you to consider. If you don't like to practice, consider those two things and see if one of those things is it. You know, when we get before the people, our confidence is in the Lord. Our confidence is the Holy Spirit upon us. He does all of that work for us. There is a part of the confidence that is our responsibility, though, and that comes with practicing. When you're practiced up, and I you know, in this day, I'll just be honest, I don't have to do a lot of practicing on some of the areas that I used to have to do. I play with the band, and so I play my part. But I still, guys, put on the songs that I'm going to play, put them on, put on the track, put on the click track to it, and most of the time I'm playing rhythm acoustic and singing, either vocals or harmony, or I might be playing like an electric rhythm, and I put it on, and I play through it. Most songs, 3, 4, 5 times during the week before the weekend comes for those simple things. And of course, if I'm learning a new song, it's going to be more time. But I would just say there's so much confidence that comes from, I've been playing along to what this sounds like, and when I get there to play with the band, it's all going to come together so much better, and I'm not going to feel like the person that goes, yeah, I don't know the timing. Why don't you know the timing? Oh, the timing is hard. Well, the timing wouldn't be hard if you put on the song. I'm speaking to myself here. Put on a click track. You can get all those free apps on your phone and just play along, and it just helps so much. And then you're not the person on the team that messed it all up, so which is always a bummer.
Many of the songs that we're doing in worship are on the radio today. And so they're hearing them all the time. They want to come to church, and when they hear that, well, it's just natural. They're going to start comparing, all right? I know that can make you insecure and whatnot, or it can move you and motivate you to make sure that you're getting it down, you're getting it right, you're working it out. And you might tweak it a little bit and make it your own. That's fine. Don't tweak it too much, because then, again, you know what that happens? What happens to that? People get distracted and like, what is that thing they do with that song that no one else does? Why do they do that? I'm not sure, why, you know, that kind of thing. Be careful with that too, you know, where you made it so much yours that it's, and now they it's a distraction again, you know. And so, but many of those songs that they're hearing. So number seven, hey, be aware of the time that is allotted for worship, right? Time is important, and I'll never forget my dad. He hired a worship leader, one of his best friends in college, and guitar player, and he would come, and he was so good at what he did, you know, and very blessed by him. But he went 40, 45 minutes, you know, and in the Baptist church, it's 1 hour. I mean, it is 1 hour. That's like all we do in the Baptist. You don't go beyond that hour. I mean, that's like forbidden, right? You know, and so dad taught 30, worship was 20, and there was announcements that were usually took 10 minutes long, you know, and if you had an invitation, man, you know, you got to squeeze that in there too. And so all that being said, you know, as services start to grow, your church grows, you get multiple, we have five, and so we have to work that out on Saturday. That's why you said, you know, when I said, I've got to get 3 minutes off. You're like, really? Is it that great? Yeah. Because we've got 30 minutes in between every one of our services. The last service, we have 15 minutes. All right. And so I'm still in the foyer shaking hands when the next service starts. And we got to jump right back in. And so as God grows it, you got to work that discipline out. Actually, I won't even allow any of my assisting pastors to ever teach for me on a weekend service if they can't teach under 40 minutes. Not kidding. Because I can't have a youth pastor come up there and teach for an hour or an hour and 10. And youth pastors do that sometimes, all right? I've had a few. Like, you can't get up there. The whole thing will fall apart that weekend, all right? It won't work. The children's ministry won't work. Nothing will work. Parking lot won't work. You don't work until you can get it to under 40 minutes. You remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And Jason was the guy to make sure that happened on a midweek because he has an hour and a half total service, right? Yeah. And so a little bit more time. We have an hour and 15 on the weekend. And so, but, and so I be aware of time. And Jason's aware of that. He knows that. He knows also, and I think I can share this, on Saturday he can go a little bit longer, but he knows I can't do that on Sunday morning. But then that last service, he might want to go a little bit longer. But they're tired. It's 1:30 in the afternoon, you know. But
lunch.
Yeah, we're all tired. Like, one more song? No, we want to go home. You know, we're hungry, but we need a nap. But just, you know, make sure that you're aware of that. All right, what's the scripture in that? 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. All right. Now, some of you orderly people, you're like, I love that verse. That is such a great verse. But some of you other creative are like, oh, that stifles. And it's just not, and it's not spirit led. And it's not, we're not, you know, you're quenching, you know. No, the Spirit of God works in decent and ordered. That's what he says. Now, you know, our Pentecostal friends would say, let all things be done, right? And then our Baptist friends, decently in order. Well, that's why we're Calvary Chapel. Right? We want all things decently in order, all right? All things decently in order, all right? We want everything that the Spirit of God has for us, but we want to make sure it's done well and it's done right, all right? And so decently in order, there's nothing wrong with that, all right? If your pastor's that way and you're not that way, you got to get that way, all right? You need to move in that direction, all right? And God's put him in that leadership, all right? All right, you go.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one yet. Our Pentecostal friends, that's good. We're going to have to coin that.
I'm sorry if you're on one of those sides and you're like, man, dude, I'm never coming back.
It was good. It was good. Everybody could take it. The only thing I would add is, Pastor Chris, you're really respectful of people's time. Yeah. People come to church to spend time in worship. And that, I think that's a huge part of it, is you want to respect, you know, people are there, you want to respect their time too. So we're not cutting into everybody's plans and all that. I think it's a good thing.
There's a diminishing return. You guys know that on anything. If you go too long, it's like, oh man, this is, oh, another one. Oh, another one. Okay. All right. I mean, they're just, it can be. Isn't that true? You have pastors that say, last point. All right. I'm going to finish with this. And in closing, you know, and you're like, dude, you said that 15 minutes ago, bro. Like, that's, when is that going to happen? Right? Are we going to do that? Why? Because I know when I get done and I say, hey, let's stand and pray, they are done. They are absolutely, they're actually ready to leave. Right? I mean, yeah, I say stand up and they're like, honey, we got to go to the car. He talked about food today. I'm hungry. We got to go, you know? And so we all know that. And that's true in everything. All right. And just making sure you're aware of that. We can have fun with this, right?
Yeah.
All right, number eight. Be aware of leading as if it's a performance. All right, hear me. You are not a rock star. All right, I'm not kidding with that one. All right, that stuff's going around. It's everywhere. We've had them, and we pay the price for it. All right, that's what's going on in their heart. That's what's going on in their flesh, and that's what they want to be. And it's not healthy. It's not at all. If that's your heart, then you're in the wrong position. All right. And by the way, everybody can see when you're trying to be a rock star. Hear me in that. When you're doing the try hard thing, when you're trying to be somebody, everybody can see it. The senior pastors, we know that among senior pastors. Whoa, dude. That's a lot of try hard. What were you trying to do with all that? What we know that, right? And it's like, man, and we may not say that to them because they wouldn't like it, but what do we start praying for them? God, work on that heart because there's something there, right? That whole rock star thing, that's totally from the world. They come out of the world into this place not to get the world. Leave that stuff out there, all right? To be near Jesus, to adore him, to love on him, to hear from, he's the rock star. He is. Bring people to Jesus. Bring people into the presence of God, all right? And it doesn't look good on worship leaders. I think it's sometimes, there might be some who would say, well, he's a worship leader, you know? And it's like, you're in a position of authority and a position of leadership, and you're bringing people into the wonderful, beautiful presence of God, all right? Make sure he's the one that's being exalted and not you, all right? Jesus exhorted us not to go there. Remember when he spoke about the religious, Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. They like to be seen by men. They want to be seen by men. You got that going on. Pull that stuff captive. You can. All right? Don't let that be the motivation. I want to be on the mic. I want everybody to see me. I want everybody to hear me. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. Isn't that interesting? What does he say? If that's your motivation, that's your reward. When they, oh, you're so wonderful. That's it. Instead, what does he tell us? Put on humility. That looks much better on leaders. It looks much better in the church. It looks much better in servants, drummers, guitarists, soloists. Put on humility, and you're going to find that your pastor is going to appreciate it. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 14:11? Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's a hint in that. What's the big hint, right? Humble yourself, right? And he says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. There it is, humility. Put it on. Actually, I love that verse. You know, I like that. He actually tells you, you could put it on. All right? It's a choice that you make. And so some of you go, well, I don't do humility well. No, you can. You just put it on. All right? Put on humility. Choose to walk in humility. That's what he's saying. That's what the Spirit of God can give to you, can grant to you, all right? You don't do that well? Well, submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me in that department? And he will. He knows how to do that, all right? And let me just add to that, as a senior pastor and someone who loves to worship, just, again, I think make sure that you're careful not to do things that would draw too much attention to yourself. Now, I'm not saying you can't lift your hands. All right. I'm not that we know that to be true in Calvary Chapel. When I'm saying you can't clap your hands, but if you're the only dude clapping to a song that doesn't, you know, like it doesn't that doesn't clap well, that's weird. All right. And or if you know what I'm saying? Or yeah, I mean it's just you don't need don't can I just I don't know. Can I say, don't be weird on stage? Yeah. I don't know. Is that all right? Just don't do that. You can lift your hands. You can move a bit, but you don't have to overdo that. Does that make sense too? Like, gosh, what in the world's going on with that? You know, oh, so bring that in a little bit. All right. Bring that in some. Remember, I would even say this. Do that in your own private time of worship.
There you go.
Go for it. Close the door in your office and dance and sing and what, all of that. Clap your hands, awkward, and all of it, all right? But when you're on stage, remember, all right? Remember, this is corporate worship. We're leading God's people, all right? So, all right, okay. We're getting close. What do you got? Do you have anything?
No.
It's good. All right. Number nine. Two more. Number nine, check with your pastor about speaking in the worship service. Some of you are talkers. You got the gift of gab. Some of you may even have a call in your life like Jason.
I have a gift of gab.
Yeah, but Jason is a pastor. And so he does. He naturally has things to say. All right. That's just in him all the time. All right. If you're married to a pastor, you know what that's like. He probably talks more than you do, you know? And so my wife always says that, you know, and so I know that about myself. But just make sure what you're saying would never be in conflict with your pastor and what he would say. If you have any doubt, any uncertainty, ask him. I'm thinking about saying something like this or, you know, just be careful. And you even need to ask your pastor if it's okay to do that. I have a trust with this guy. It's okay for him to do that. I don't worry about it. I know what he's going to say is going to be sound. It's going to be spirit-led. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be good. And actually, it even might be convicting. It's all good too, you know. But what I would say to Jason, like any pastor who's got a calling and you're leading worship, don't take 10 minutes to do that. Because you just gypped us a couple songs.
Two songs.
Our worship. Because the pastor's getting ready to get up there and give a 40, 45-minute message.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you just, and I think you can add to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just from my view, when leaders talk a lot or pray a lot, they encroach mostly on what the pastor's about to say. And that's because the Spirit of God is moving and working in that room. And so why not leave the worship for worship time where we're exalting the Lord and lifting him on high? Prayer is better than speaking, I would say, especially if you have a smaller amount of time. But they're going to get up and speak. And it might be cool sometimes, like, oh, we said the same thing. But you're in the worship time while the pastor is in the teaching and the instruction time. And it's better to receive those things, I believe, in the instruction time where people are taking notes and writing it down and seeing it within the context of the passage that's being taught on. Way more powerful. And so just, it's one of those things. If that's something that's on your heart, pay attention and see if there was something in your heart that you would normally share. Pull it back and then notice. You'll see the pastor ends up sharing something along those lines and the Spirit of God is at work.
Jason, wouldn't you even say that, I don't know what your guys' routine is, but I can't tell you how many times the text that I'm teaching, I go, what in the world? You guys picked all the right songs. Do you and Emily think through that? Do you look ahead? Do you kind of have an idea? Or is that just like you pray and fast for a whole day? And that just, yeah, that's what you do. You pray and fast.
I fast between breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And then again between lunch and dinner.
Yes, very fast.
So just.
It's very fast.
Well, that's not even true, actually.
No. Right.
As you can see.
But I mean, how many times you guys picked all the right. That's
you know
really
what,
cool, man. So.
Every once in a while, I'll look ahead, and we know where you're at. But honestly, that's just, I think, just letting the Holy Spirit pick the sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. How long we've been doing ministry together, though?
Well, I've been at church with you for 23 years. I've been on staff with you for 17.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah. So you can see, Yeah, we're old guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Last one. Here it is. Worship leaders, help people recognize the presence of God in worship. All right. I know a lot of this that I said, you're like, wow, this is tough stuff, man. Well, the last one, I know that's why you got in. I hope that's why you got in. And that's why you're here. It may be why your pastor brought you here, too. But hey, the presence of God, and I think, Jason, you mentioned, the presence of God is always, he's always present in the service. Know that, all right? And so you're not conjuring up, oh, here he comes. He's coming now. He wasn't here. Now he's coming. This this song is when he comes, you know, and I'm sure of it, right? You know, and I sometimes songs kind of give us an idea of that, but hear me, we want to recognize and realize the presence of God. Worship does that, doesn't it?
Yes.
When you get up there, realize that, recognize that, go in that way. I'm going to help them see and recognize and realize the presence of God. Because what happens when we realize and recognize the presence of God? We're refreshed, we're refueled, we're challenged, we're changed, we're healed. I've just even this last Sunday, there was a song that you guys were doing, and I just saw the lady in front of me just sit down, and she started weeping. Just the presence of God, the Spirit of God, through the worship of God. What was she realizing? What was she recognizing? God's here, and I so needed him. I even think it's a stewardship for you, stewardship for me, stewardship for us as a church, that we make sure that we help people in that way. It's a trust. I want God to trust us that we're going to help people see his glory, his goodness, his who he is, and to adore him, to exalt him. And the day of all the rock star performance, garbage, all right? We get the opportunity, the wonderful privilege to minister, as Matt said, in the sanctuary with God's people. And some of them are coming and they don't know anything about Jesus. They're coming and they're coming because they drove by or they felt an inclination or the Spirit was tugging or whatever. Someone invited them. And I literally believe, man, there are times during worship I think we could have an invitation.
Oh, yeah.
And people would come to Christ.
Yep.
All right, because they realize and recognize the presence of God. And I like this quote, and I'll finish with this, and you can share. Yeah. Chuck Swindoll, he's a good old guy, right? He said this. He said, "Praise is the vehicle that the Spirit uses to help us recognize the presence of the Lord." Did you get that? Praise is the vehicle that the Spirit of God uses to help us recognize the presence of the Lord. And so, hey, worship leaders, you have one of the most amazing jobs, ministries in the church. I know that and realize that and see that as a senior pastor. And I'm sure your senior pastor also sees that, realizes it, and recognizes it. All right, work with him. And know that God's going to bless you and use you. And that's why. That's why there's a lot of warfare in your life, all right? That's why there's a lot of struggle going on in your life and in your home, all right? But stay the course, continue on. And it's going to be worth it when we hear him say, what are we going to hear him say? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joy. Help them enter the joy early on, all right? Come on, finish.
When worship goes well, we know his presence is with us, as we both said. When worship goes well, the atmosphere shifts in the room. And what happens is people become way more receptive to the word of God. They've already become more receptive in that moment to God himself. Now they're open to the word of God. It's the word of God that does the work. Yes, the Holy Spirit, he is working, but he's using the word of God. He's like a big flashlight, I like to think of it as. And he's illuminating the word. And you watch people, I've seen it, when people have a good time in worship in the sense that they've met with God, they've elevated God, they're connected with God, it's like the word of God is brand new to them in that service, and they come out just like, can you believe that? Believe what? Because, you know, how many things are said in the service? A lot. That one thing, well, there you go. The Spirit was illuminating the word of God. And so it's God that does the work, but we have a huge calling on our lives, from the one leading to the one playing to the one back on all of the media and the sound. All together, we have a big project that we're working on. We're not manipulating, but rather we're elevating the name of God, and we're giving him praise, and it does change the atmosphere in the room. Just like this last team that led us this afternoon did such a fantastic job leading us before the throne of God, and you know, you're fired up and ready to receive. So,
yeah. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for each and every one that's made their way to this conference. We know that's by your divine hand, by your divine design that you brought them here. There's something that you want to impart to them, something you want to work in them, something you maybe want to rework in them. And Lord, maybe some healing that needs to take place and burdens being released and refreshment that's being given, a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know that the worship leaders, they're part of the front lines. They're helping people see and realize and recognize the presence of God. Your presence and who you are and how wonderful and amazing you are. We want to see your glory. And we look forward to that day that we'll see you and all that you are. And Lord, but until that day, Lord, we get these little glimpses in our times of worship. And I just pray, Lord, that each and every one that's made their way here this week, Lord, would be blessed, refreshed. There would be just even a new spark, a fire, a flame for the work that you have for them, for the ministry that you've called them to, for the gifting that you placed in them. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.